that song really speaks to me there, but being the sons of God, you know, children of God. And so I want to deviate for a second from the message, or this might be the message today, but God laid upon my heart. But I think as followers of Jesus, sometimes we sell ourselves short, you know. A child of God is who you are as you come to Jesus. He tells us in John 1:12 that those who receive Christ becomes a child of God, co-heir of the throne of Jesus. And if you think just for a moment, my son back here on the base, you think if he came to me today and said, "Dad, hey, I need some hamburger to eat," you think I'd turn him away? I'd grab him, go down the mire, and butcher a cow. I would find a way to provide for him, okay? Not saying I'd be the lawful way. But you know, if Ryan said, "Dad, I need a pair of boots," or I need transportation, I need gas. I mean, is there anything you think I would withhold from my son? No, I mean, within my limitations, I would do whatever I could. It could be used boots. It could be possum instead of hamburger. But I would do everything with my means to meet his need because he's my son. Amen? I purposely wanted a son. And me and my wife, you were not a mistake. No, amen. I purposely wanted him. If I will do that, and I am mortal, I am limited on resources, especially until the first of the month gets here, how much more will your Heavenly Father do? Some of you out there this morning, God's speaking to you. He said, "Hey, listen, come to me, trust me." You're out there and you're trying to figure things out on your own. You're trying to move A to get to B and B over to C and C to D. And God said, "Hey, here I am. Just come to me." I think James chapter 1, it says, "Anybody lack wisdom? Come and ask of it, I'll give it to you." And I shared this before. Some of you heard this before, but I had a car trouble back as a kid. 18 years old. The horn of my vehicle quit blowing. Back then, you had to have a horn on your car. And it wouldn't start unless I took two wires jumping together. I had a title for it. And I went on for about 6 weeks that way. I had a department of town still in high school. And finally, I got a hold of my dad. "Hey, Dad, can you help me this?" "Well, I'm waiting for you to call me." 15 minutes, my dad. I mean, he's an electrician. I mean, that's what he does. He had that vehicle fixed. Now, why didn't I go to him to start with? Maybe partially because maybe I was ashamed. I didn't know how to do it. Okay? Pride. Hey, come on. Preach it, sister. That dog will hunt right there. You know what I'm saying? Pride, or that will plow. Okay? We get in our mind, "How can I go to God the day I was there last week? You know, I had this problem last week and now I've got it again. He don't want to hear from me again." But God wants to hear from you. You understand that? He wants to be involved in your life. It would break my heart if I found out a week from now that Ryan and Angela had no food in their house and they waited till the payday in order to go buy food. And there I am with a freezer full of meat at home. Wow. "Son, why didn't you come to me? Why didn't you tell me?" "Oh, Dad, I don't want to bother you. I came last month and asked you for some." Okay, that's what dads do. You know, we're here to help you. And folks, that's what our God is doing. You're not a mistake. He had you created for a purpose. I don't care how you got into this world. I don't care what you've done in the past. I don't care if you've been the worst teenager child growing up, rebelled against God your whole life, and you come to Him. He said, "Okay, come on in. What do you need, child? What do you need?" You pour your heart out to Him. And He never gets tired of hearing from you. Now, it could be possible, Ryan working with people, "Oh man, I don't have any food in the house, everybody get a hold of Dad. And somebody said, what, you going to get a hold of your old man again? Aren't you supposed to be on your own feet now? Aren't you supposed to be? Well, Dad told me if I ever need anything, get a hold of me. Well, come on. What's he going to think about you? Here you are, 30-some years old. Close to 40, I don't know. But friends will try to talk you out of it. And in your head, Satan gets in there. He's not your friend. He's there to convince you. Now, God's done with you. You went last week. You went last month. You just went last night to him with the issues and problems. How can you do it again? You got to understand that God wants to be involved in your life. He wants to help handle your pain and your frustrations. Jesus went to the cross to do that for us. And the first thing that takes place, man, he pays the debt that we sang earlier. No way we could pay it. The only way we could pay that debt is to go to hell. And he stepped in and said, okay, I'm going to rescue you. And we received that. He said, I'm just not going to pull you out of hell. I'm going to hang out with you. We're going to walk this life together. I'm going to be with you step by step. We're going to do a lot of stuff. Oh, a lot of stuff in life takes place. He said, come on, I'm going to take you through it. You see this around the corner there? We call it Glory Land. We're going to get there. All this stuff here is immaterial anymore. But I'm going to be with you. Trust me in my word. Is God a God of truth? We know he is, don't we? That God ever lies? No, he doesn't. That God shows how much he loved us? You know the famous John 3:16. He also loved the world that he gave. Sometimes we get lost from that, don't we? We get so wrapped up in life, we forget, man, he shows how much he cared for us. And if he's going to spend that to redeem us, how much more? How much more he wants to be in our relationship? But to trust him. You know, we have a scripture that we shared. I'm going to share it this morning here. And we shared it last week. And it's the one in John 8:31. And my finger's still hanging on there. That Jesus was speaking to the Jews who believed in him and made the statement, if you continue my word, then you're truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. The Word of God is the truth. And to hear this Word and know that every part of this Bible is given to you as truth to help you. Now when we look at the Bible and we see that it's not just words, but it's words to us, when we know these words are directed to each one of us, and we don't use a pitchfork effect and grab the bad stuff that we don't want to obey and throw it behind the neighbor, when we realize that this Word is true to us, and we let it guide our life, that's how it sets you free. You ever run from the Word of God? You ever read the Word of God? No. I'm going to turn the page. That's stepping on my toes, we call it. But it's given to us to, step on our toes because He cares so much for us. God sees what's down the road tomorrow and the next day. He knows our life. I don't know how He knows it. I just know He's God. And he knows, as we say all the time in Jeremiah 29, that he knows the plans he has for each one of you. Think of that. He's got plans for you more. And for you. He's got plans for me. He has plans already written down someday to take me to heaven. Now, whether it be standing here in front of you or be the sound of the trumpet, he has those plans already. When I follow His Word, then plans don't play out perfect. Now, if I don't follow His Word, I might get there quicker than what He had planned. But He knew He was going to do it anyway. I mean, okay? But in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. 25, huh? You can go to 35, but I don't think they have any in Matthew. If you want to go to Matthew 35, chapter 6, you'll never go anywhere because it's not one. You're trying to write the Bible yourself, huh? Yeah, chapter 6 and Matthew verse 25 we're going to start at. And this is God's word. This is His truth. This is gave to you and I to relieve the frustrations of life, that we may enjoy it. Those things the most things that comes against us today is probably money. If I talk to most people, not all, but most people, you need more money. Amen? Most of us, yeah, you need more. Get your hand out right now. You make a good preacher someday. Reality, you don't need more money. You need less bills, don't you? Amen? I mean, true. I mean, if we got more money today in our pockets, we'd probably go in debt farther. And then next month, we need more money, right? But just think, if we had less bills, we could have less money. But if we had more money than we had bills, we'd have less frustrations. Right? You say it right? I think so, yeah. But the Master had this wrote down for you and I. This is His truth. He says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on." Now, I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to back up again. "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on." He said, don't worry. And what He's saying is, we apply the truth, His word, to our life. There's nothing to worry about. Amen. As youngsters at home, you finally get the age where your parents are going to leave you in the house by themselves where they're going to get groceries? Be gone for a couple hours? We didn't have remotes back then, but we had a younger brother with our remote, you know, so you got the TV to yourself. And they kind of gave you these instructions, you know, okay, don't tear this place up, you sit here, don't get on the phone and all this kind of stuff. And we'll be back in 2 or 3 hours. Well, when you did what they told you to do, and they came home, you're sitting there, the house not tore up, you didn't eat everything in the refrigerator and stuff like that, you had nothing to worry about when they came home, did you? It never happened, yeah? But if you're like me, had an ornery brother, an older sister that picked on you a lot, I mean, sometimes they came home and the house was upside down. I had plenty to worry about. You know, getting close, but about 3 hours going by, they're coming anytime. You guys better get this house cleaned up. I didn't do it, but you better clean it up. I'll tell Mama you did it. I mean, just the frustrations. But we would listen. Listen to them when they gave us instructions. How much more peaceful would it be? And back in those days, guys, it's different than you all now, but we got pop maybe once a month. We got a 16-ounce bottle of pop, and we had some taste just on a Friday night. And if we were behaved well enough, we could stay up late enough to watch RFD. Not RFD, but Mayberry. I mean, that was back as our days, simple times. But up front, I had to worry about anything as I listened to them. That's what Jesus is saying here. He goes on here in verse 25, he says, "Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they?" Did Jesus die for the birds, or did He die for you? He died on the cross to redeem us. Now, if He's going to feed the birds and take care of them little guys, how much more do they want to do for those of us who are created in His image, made with a purpose? "And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life?" Can anybody do that? Actually, worrying about your life shortens your life. Did you know that? It wears you down. You know, one of the biggest threats we have anymore is stress. Anybody familiar with stress? It can get a hold of you, can't it? You get up in the morning and you might even spend time in the Word of God, and the next thing you know, the phone rings and this is coming and that's coming and this bill's due and that's bill's due, and you get all stressed out. But even when the phone rings like that, we look at the Word of God. we're following Him, we have nothing to be alarmed about. Because He says, the truth shall set you free. My wife and I, over the years, we have learned that He means that. Okay? We have a bill that comes on expecting. Okay, God, what do you want to do with it? Because you tell me that I tithe to you, that you pour a blessing on me I cannot contain. You have a root that you devour for me. If I know Satan, you're going to get hold of my finances. Then Jesus comes along and He even says, awesome. He says, man, I'm going to tell you what. Starkey, as you give, you shall receive. Pressed down, overflowing, return back to you. Wow. So by how I give, it comes back. So, okay, God, I follow your word. See, that the truth has set me free because my finances aren't mine. They're God's. I seek Him to use them properly. And it took me a while to do that. You know what I'm saying? All the cash was mine. All the bills was God. And He wanted control over both of them. It took time. Amen? I mean, we lost a house when we just got married. We lost $18,000 on a real estate deal. Yes. And we lived out on a coal mine house for several years. And it was just somebody that lied to us. But anyway, I learned and recovered from that. And God has never let me down. He has never, ever. He's always kept His word. Isn't that funny? God's word is true. And so something that comes up, okay, God, how you want to handle this? And I'm telling you what, you trust in Him and He finds a way of taking care of things for us, of you trust in Him. It'd be the same way, again, go back to my son. If we have an unexpected bill show up, okay, probably wouldn't call me. But if I got sight wind of it, and I could do something about it, I would do it. How much more would God? As we exercise truth and wisdom, amen. You ever got to blow your money? Nobody ever blew your money before? Marty, I'm not talking about guns. I'm talking about something. But yeah. Oh, Lord, man, I blew it. I shouldn't have bought that. I should have kept the money. Well, God hears you. Okay, God, help me out here. He's a good Father. He'll teach you. He'll give you instructions. And follow Him. And we learn not to do that. Or we learn not to tower wise, at least, what we did the guns. Talk about guns, Chuck. I remember a buddy of mine. He loved guns. Another fellow loved fishing. And so he would go out and buy all these guns, but never told his wife, and he'd hide them underneath his downstairs in his, we call them sofa beds back then, but they open up. He had all his guns in there. And the other fellow I worked with, you would know him, Becky, he loved fishing. And he bought all these fishing poles and stuff, and he hid them down in under his spare bed downstairs. And they got an argument one time. Yes. And so one called the other wife, said, hey, you gotta go downstairs and look under that couch you got down there, that sofa bed. And went down there, my guy, she was 15 or 20 guns there she knew nothing about. And so he got mad and called the other wife, hey, you go down there and check on your husband. Oh, I'll tell you what. So it's not good to hide things, but it's not good at all to hide things from God. Amen? Well, yes. Again, you got a lot of dogs hunting today. You know, that is a good saying. How many times do you try to hide stuff from God? You know that? We make a mistake, whatever it might be, and we try to hide it from Him. We don't want to talk about it, okay? We just turn it back. But God's already saw it, and He's waiting for you to come and confess to Him. He's waiting there to forgive you. Just like Marty's there waiting to forgive Chuck. My wife's waiting to forgive me. I didn't hear an amen back here, honey. Keep preaching. But again, the thing of it is that He already knows what you need. He said, don't worry about it, you know. And we have a habit of worrying about it because most of the time we're doing things outside of His guidance and His wisdom. Right? And sometimes we do that. And say, okay, as our word lines up with His truth, He has a way of working things out for us. He wants to do that. But you can't add a single hour by worrying about things. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his splendor and his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you? And then He says, you have little faith. He said, man, come on. He's telling you the truth. If you make that countryside look beautiful, I'll tell you what, driving in the day, there's some beautiful hay fields out there, and alfalfa's mowed down, and all the aroma, the beauty of it all. And if he'll do that for little birds that fly in the air, how much more will he do for you? Then he says, ye of little faith, trust in me. Trust in me. Doesn't say in John 14, come to me all you are weary, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Doesn't he say that? Otherwise, he'd say, come on, follow me. Listen to my word. Mm-mm. But you have little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles, or he's saying the non-believers, eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He already knows what you need. Isn't that great? Now, if he knows what you need, and he had you created, and he has a plan and purpose for your life, and he's not there to harm you, but to prosper you, to take care of you, don't you think he'll provide those needs that you have? He will. He wants to. He wants to. But here is the key here. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So it comes back over to us. But seek his kingdom, or seek his truth, and his righteousness, his right standing with God. And that comes through the acceptance of Christ. And all these things will be added to you. It goes back to us hearing the truth, embracing the truth, and following it. And again, it goes back that we should be the most joyful people on planet Earth. We should be. Because, man, everything that we need, everything that everybody else worries about, God already provides for us. Amen? And what gets us down is when we step out beyond the needs and we take on some wants. There's nothing wrong with having a want. But let me say it this way. That want straps you to a payment. You can't say, get rid of that want. I mean, it seems pretty decent. Sometimes you go to different stores, and what man here doesn't want an 80-inch television set? I'm telling you what, can you imagine playing Space Invaders on an 80-inch? I want to see the Cowardly Lion or Wizard of Oz running out that door. Ah, 80-inch. So, man, so you can walk into the store, and they got them on sale. You know, I don't know what they are. $2,000. I'm telling you what. $99 a month. Oh, I can afford that. So you go and you buy this 80-inch television set to replace the 40-inch one you got at home. Okay? And the next thing you know, boom. The overtime is wiped out. Or the washer goes down. Or whatever it might be, some of the essential thing in life that you need. And I know, ladies, you still got worship boards and use those. And you're looking at TV like, wow, I should never have bought it. Now, if you can reach in your bank account, grab out $2,000, walk down and buy an 80-inch television set, I mean, you're not strapped to anything, are you? But boy, when we step out and he's already going to provide our needs, and we go after our wants, and we go in debt big time for what we want, we need to think twice. Because he says in the next verse, so do not worry about tomorrow. So first of all, if we apply the word of God to our life today, we won't have to worry about tomorrow, because we already know he's got things worked out, don't we? And we follow him. But if we don't, then we're sitting here worrying about tomorrow. Because that TV payment's coming. He says, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Wow. If we hear the truth, follow the truth, don't worry about tomorrow, guys. It'll work out. Just enjoy today. I mean, how many of us are guaranteed to be here tomorrow? We hear that trumpet sound. How many things a day are you putting off till tomorrow? Tomorrow I'm going to rest. Tomorrow I'm going to take it easy. Tomorrow I'm going to sit in that backyard I just mowed it, and I'm going to enjoy it tomorrow. God said, man, do it today. God come to restore us. Christ came to restore our lives and give us a peace with Him, a peace. Oh, I know, our hearts are burdened because we're praying for people. We want salvation for loved ones. But we have a peace about it when we do that. What's a heavy thing on your mind today? What's a heavy thing that got you bogged down? Don't speak out loud. Then, whatever it is, what does God say about that? What has the Word spoken on that already? Are you allowing your life to line up with the Word of God? Well, are we still doing our own? And you trust God. Oh, you trust Him. But you made this problem, and you're going to fix this problem. And so you try and do it on your own. And God said, no, here I am. Here, child, come to me. Let me help you. Let me fix it. You want a solution? I'll fix it. And for some of us, you're sitting here right now today, and you already know what God's solution is. And you don't like the solution. Because it will remove something from you that you had for a while. It's detrimental to you. It's causing you stress. It's causing you problems. You already got out of bed this morning. That's how heavy it is. And God has already told you what you need to do. But you're not quite ready yet. Because why? I mean, change is difficult. Amen? It is. But God's looking out for the best for you. He's told you. It's for us to embrace Him. Okay, God? And I'm telling you what, some things in life is hard to have adjusted, change, or remove because something has memory. Some things has a bunch of stuff that goes back. But whatever it is, you take it to God and say, hey, Starkey, this is what I want you to do. Wow. But the minute you do it, you know that God had already knew the best for you. And the minute you make that decision, the minute you commit to what God said to do, there's a peace that comes over you. Okay, God, work out the details. I surrender that to you. And He'll do that. If we want that. It's the truth. And the truth will set us free to hearing that. Truth is not always popular. Amen? I mean, the truth is always the truth. And God has called us, as His children, to hear the truth, to follow the truth, and then most of all, to share the truth. A lot of folks out there in that world today, they don't know what the truth is. It's not their fault. I'm just saying, they hear so much. And most of the stuff that people are hearing are lies. The devil is on a rampage out there. Rampage, he is twisting things around, telling lies, distorting Jesus, distorting God's love. The false religions out there today, telling everybody's going to go to heaven. You know, that God loves everybody, and because of that love, everybody gets to go to heaven. His hell has been eliminated. There's preachers out there that preaches that. That God would never send anybody to hell. And I agree with that. God doesn't send anybody to hell. People go to hell on their own accord because they don't know the truth or reject the truth. And the truth part will set free. I'll close with this little parable. It's 2 Kings chapter 20. I'm going to condense it for you just for a second. Just to show you. There's a guy named Hezekiah. You guys ever hear of him? Yeah, pretty good, pretty decent guy. Well, you find out where he was injured in battle. He had a mortal wound. And he was going to die. He's laying there. And Isaiah, the great prophet, we're all familiar with Isaiah, great man of God. He got a word from God. He got a word from God to go to Hezekiah. Wow. He walked into Hezekiah. He is there. He is wounded. He's dying. And man of God walked in and said, Hezekiah, I got a word from God for you. Yes, what is it? He says, pack your bags. You're going to die. You're not going to recover. What did Hezekiah do? What would you do? Well, I'll tell you what Hezekiah did. He started thinking. Next thing you know, the Bible says he turned towards the wall, talked to God, remembered all that he'd done for him, prayed to God. Otherwise, he turned back to God. You know what God gave him? 15 more years. See, the word of God was true. He was going to die that night. Get your affairs in order. Pack your bag. You're gone. But remember that thing we talked about earlier? About when we got our free will? Man, he was alerted to turn back to God, and God granted him 15 more years. Now, did Isaiah tell him the truth? Amen, did he not? I mean, wow, can you imagine going to the king, going to Hezekiah, and you know the truth. You have a word from God, and that word is in here. And you're going in to see a man that's injured, wounded, and you got to tell him it's over with. How many people would like to do that? I can see Hezekiah laying there. Here comes Isaiah, and hey man, listen. God says it's over with. You're not going to recover from it. Pack your bags. Get ready tonight. And here comes somebody else. We'll say Ryan comes along. Okay? What's going on, Hezekiah? That Isaiah guy just told me that I'm not going to recover from this wound. I'm going to die. And Ryan says, oh man, don't listen to him. Remember what you used to do? Remember what you did for God? Remember years ago you did this and that? Ah, man, you're okay. You'll be all right. Just hang in there, man. Hang in there. Okay. Now, which one, if you're Hezekiah, would you want to believe in? Me, when I spoke, say you're going to die tonight, or the dude come and say, you're okay. Just stay where you're at. Man, I tell you what, God loves you, dude. He loves you. Hang in there. Chances are you're going to listen to Ryan. You're going to listen to him, and the word spoken from a man of God, a word from God to the man of God, to him, will be cast aside. And what would have happened to Hezekiah? He would have died. He would have died. But look what Isaiah did. He had the truth, the word of God, and he took to a man who was dying. And he spoke, no matter how it turned out, I got a word from God, this is what it says, he delivered it, then let God take it from there. And praise God, it brought Hezekiah to the point where he turned the wall, he turned back to God. Confessed to him, and God gave him 15 more years. It's the truth that set him free. It wasn't a watered down thing. The truth. Now, this word here will speak to you the same way. It is the truth spoken to you. We can receive this, grab it. Yes, it's for me. Listen to it. Turn to Him. Repent. Follow Him. Or wait. I don't like that page. I don't like that page. I want to go back here to the Revelation, the marriage supper of the Lamb. I like eating, okay? So we can do the same thing. But then, the word out here today, if they're not hearing the truth, people are believing a lie. I don't care whether it comes from the government or it comes from the pulpit. They're not listening to the truth. People have a death sentence of death for eternity. And the only hope that they have is the same thing as Hezekiah had. That was to hear the truth, the truth, and let God take it from there. If we don't tell the truth, how can we deliver a dead man? We can't. We have been called to live the truth, share the truth, no matter how hard it is at times, and let God take it from there. Hezekiah, though, I mean, this he got 15 more years. Isn't that awesome? But you know what he did? He invited his enemies in to his house. They saw all those awesome things that he had. Now, Hezekiah was too strong of a man, too great of a warrior. They wasn't going to take that. You know what the enemy did? They stayed back during them 15 years. Just be patient, man. Be patient. He'll kick off one of these days. He'll kick off. And Hezekiah saying, oh, I got peace, my enemies. I got 15 years of barbecue and I can go, what do you call it? Snowboarding or whatever it is. I don't know. But he's not thinking, I'm leaving my enemy alive for my sons. Just because the enemy is quiet doesn't mean they're not working. The devil's always churning. We should never be satisfied that he's not attacking us today. Our goal, man, is to squash him, expose him, and remove him. 15 years later, Hezekiah passed away. And the enemy came in, took his sons, killed his one of his sons, I believe, and took over. See, when God delivers, when we get set free from the truth, oh, I no longer have a death sentence, I'm born again. And we turn back toward our enemy now, start embracing our enemy. Wow. That can never be. Because someone's watching you. Somebody's watching you live for Jesus. And folks wants to pick us apart. I don't care what you might do. They want to find fault in what you do in order to destroy the crisis in you. And our heart's desire should be, man, I want to live a life like Jesus. I want to represent Him. This is the truth. Yes, some of the stuff is stepping on my toes. I got to change my life. I understand that, Lord. But the awesome thing is that God will help you. That spirit that lives within you as a Christian is there to give you strength to overcome the battles of the evil one. He says, as you resist the devil, when you have that desire to follow the Master, He'll give you strength. He'll send down angels to fight on your behalf. When you have that desire. But it's the truth, folks. Jesus is the truth that will set for free. It's hearing the truth, it's embracing the truth, and it's following the truth today. Amen? Amen. So next week when you come to church, don't worry about what you're going to wear, okay? Wear something, but trust in the Lord. And it takes stepping out in faith. Okay, God, maybe you're here today and your finances are messed up, okay? Best thing you do is sit down and look at them. Okay, God, help me get this straightened out and start today. I know if your finances are humongous, you think, man, I got this big giant here in front of me, but I'm telling you what, God has a way of slaying the giants. We have to get to the point we have to face it. Okay, this is my issue. This is my outtake. This is my intake. Let me slay this dragon. And God will get involved with that. And next thing you know, boom, you got it under control. It doesn't do any good to shove the bills into the dresser drawer and close it, right? I found out when I did that years ago, opened the drawer back up, they were still there. Amen. God wants the best for you. He wants to be involved in your life. He's here. He's our healer. He will set us free. We just trust in Him. Amen? Amen. Any questions about today? Okay. All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word today. We thank You for the truth. And that is our desire, God, to hear the truth, to understand the truth, to embrace the truth, and follow the truth. So we ask today, Father, that our eyes and ears be open more and more to the truth, Father. That Your Word, we say before, is like an onion. Every time we read it, it peels back a little bit farther down, farther and farther, more and more layers. And God, we want great understanding. We want to not just know the truth, but embrace the truth. We want to walk with the truth, and Father, we want the opportunity to share that truth. So Lord, we just turn back to You like Hezekiah did today, Father God. If we've been on the wrong side of the bed facing away from You, God, we roll over the day, we face the wall and say, God, restore us and You're there. God, I remember the days of walking with You. I remember when Your peace and Your joy was in me, but I lost it. So God, restore it to me today, Father. Bring back to me in my remembrance, Father, all that you have done for me and all I've done for you, that we can just come back together. And this is a new day, a day of where I'll be walking with you. And I will not fear anymore. I will not have stress anymore. I'll speak the truth, share the truth. And whatever it gets me, wherever it takes me, let it be. Because I know you have plans and purposes for me. And I don't want to be a hindrance to that. And Lord, we pray today for all those down in Florida. God's still trying to locate those who have been buried in that rubble down there in that collapse. God, we just pray for those who are searching, who are looking, God, that you would comfort them and help their eyes not be demented from what they're seeing there, Lord. God, that those who are still alive, God, be rescued and located, Lord. We pray for our nation today. We pray for the leaders at this time, God, for wisdom, that they would listen to your voice and turn our nation back to you. We pray for justice, Father. We pray for the evil that's taken place, Father, and the lies that have been thrusted down upon people, God, be exposed, and that the truth. We just ask for truth to come up, Father, and that eyes be open to see the truth, embrace the truth. That this nation, including our homes, including our government, including our schools, be turned back to you, Father. And that we allow you to reign once again as Yahweh of the United States of America. And we pray for our loved ones today. And we pray for those, God, who are hurting, those who don't know you. We pray, Father God, for the words we have sown to those, our neighbors, our relatives, our workers we work with. The seeds we've sown over the year, Father God, we thank you for that. We just continue to pray that those seeds will take root, and God, that you will send workers around them. Sending workers around them to harvest for you, Lord. And God, that we have done unto others, Father God, as you say, as we give, we shall receive, as we sow, we shall reap. God, we ask you today to send workers around our loved ones, around those that we cannot reach, who turned a deaf ear to us, God, that you bring someone into their path that they would hear. God, it's not important who gets the harvest, it's that you get it. No matter who delivers the seed or the water, Lord. And we thank you for all you've given us. Thank you for allowing us to serve you. And thank you for allowing us to be your children. And to you be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.